Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in. Well, I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you remember to set your scales back 10 pounds. Some of you probably already got out your elastic pants, you know, been wearing those all. Dale's nodding, yeah. Wear those. Those are God's gift to all of us that eat too much. But it's great to be here and welcome to everybody. I hope you did have a great Thanksgiving. Susie and I, we were on the road quite a bit. We left Wednesday night and went to Branson, and we went down to hang out with some folks that, left Wednesday morning and went down to hang out with some folks from our church that we were at before we moved up here. And we played golf, and then we went out and ate with a bunch of them. The girls all went to Eureka Springs, had a great time. And then we went to my Uncle Bob's, my dad's side of the family over in Buffalo, Missouri, on Thanksgiving Day for Thanksgiving Day lunch. And that was great. We haven't seen them for quite a while or been with that whole tribe. So being with the Long Gang was quite the entertainment. My Aunt Betty, who's just the bomb, she made 9 desserts, man. It was just Sin City, brother. Vegas has nothing on that dessert bar, I can promise. And we had a great time there. I had to give a talk in Springfield Thursday night, and then we came back Friday, and then that was all in preparation for yesterday, and then the whole tribe, our tribe, all came over yesterday, and dogs and everybody included. It was obnoxious. It was crazy. It was loud. It was fun, and I was glad it all ended about 4 o'clock, you know, and it was a long weekend, but it was blessed. I'm blessed to have a great family and a great life, and I know that many of you are too. And we listened to the video of the young people sharing their gratitude, and they're so how simple things that we take for granted for being grateful for. And they were trying to gobble there at the end to talk like turkeys. And I can remember not that many years ago, I was invited to come out to Crested Butte, Colorado to give a talk. It was a week-long thing, and so Susie and I decided to take the whole family. And so we made a family vacation, stayed in a condo right there in Crested Butte, Colorado. But on the way out, we drove out. On the way out, we went to Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. I don't know if you've ever been to that zoo, but it's right in the side of a mountain in Colorado. If you've never been, put it on your bucket list. It's a small zoo, but it's really cool, and you get really up close and personal with the animals, which is really awesome. I mean, really, really close. But while we were there, we were coming up on this big log cabin, big wooden cabin, and we were coming from it from the back side. And on the back side of this cabin was the chronological orders of this moose that they've had since it was born. And so you've seen its first year horns and all the way up, and then it's like 10 years old now. And so these horns just get bigger and bigger and bigger. So you're just amazed by the chronological order of these horns. But when you walk around the side of it and get to the front of the cabin, there's a wire mesh fence, you know, it's probably 10 foot high, that's 3 times the size of this room. And inside that, in the summertime, was this giant moose sitting in the shade with a sprinkler on it, just sitting there with this big old antlers with velvet all over him. It was amazing to sit and watch. But while we're sitting there, there's a wild turkey in there. They got a turkey in there, this big old gobbler, and I see it. And I'm a turkey, and I'm a country boy. So right away, I gobble at it. Well, it gobbles right back at me. It gets all excited, and the next thing you know, it's coming over, and I'm gobbling at it. It's gobbling at me. And Susie and them are all headed this direction. They're out. They don't want no part of it. You know, all these people are watching. And I get done having this exchange with this turkey. And this little boy, he couldn't have been more than 7, no more than the age of those in that film. And I turned around and he looked at me, was as serious as he could say it. He goes, "You talk turkey, mister?" And my wife said, "He is a turkey." Before I could even say anything, she already threw that. And everybody's laughing. So that's my turkey story for this year. So we're not going to talk turkey. We're going to talk Jesus this morning. But the title of our message is Live as Jesus Lived. Jesus gave thanks. So in your bulletin is that lesson plan. I encourage you to pull it out. Use that to follow along with the message. And the first scripture, our main scripture that we're going to lift up out of our reading this morning out of the Epistle of John is this. And it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And it says this: "The one who claims to remain in him ought to live in the same way as he lived." Now that's a simple statement, and it's a powerful statement, and it's daunting truth, I think, for all of us. If we really stop and take it seriously, you and I as kingdom people are to live as Jesus lived. And so how did Jesus live? I mean, it's amazingly to think that Jesus, the creator of everything, revealed himself in a human body, your body, my body, but his body per se, and gave thanks. Amen. So when he divorced himself, emptied himself of all of his divine stuff, and became fully human, and in that human form, he gave thanks. So it's awesome, and it's a great lesson for all of us. He is fully human. He emptied himself, and as a godly and righteous child of Abraham, he gave thanks, and so should we. I mean, it's a great lesson. God wants us to be thankful people because it's good for us. Number one, Jesus showed us a perfect example of giving thanks. So let's hear what that said. So Jesus did a lot of things. And I want to lift up five of them real quick. These are the five things that if you study the life of Jesus that he did all the time. Pray, number one. He fasted. He gave thanks. He rested. And he always spent time alone with God. And we're going to see a version of that here in Luke 5:16. Here it is. But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. And he did this all the time. And we know that it's pretty obvious that during that time of prayer that there was a lot of thanksgiving going on. He was giving thanks for everything that was happening in the world. The gospel gives four accounts. I'm going to lift up four accounts in our gospels today where Jesus gives thanks. We're going to look at four different stories. But at the same time, I can find seven places in the New Testament in the gospels where Jesus stops and gives thanks. And so he's always doing this. And so if Jesus is stopping giving thanks, then we should stop and give thanks. So our first one, this will be the first slide in your handout. Jesus gave thanks for food. Really important to think about this. Jesus gave thanks for food. So we're going to read John chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Let me read that for us. Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him. He asked Philip, "Where will they buy the food to feed these people?" Jesus said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than half a year's salary's worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have a little bit." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said, "A youth here has five barley loaves and two fish, but what good is that for a crowd like this?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. And the key phrase there is verse 11. You can see it there. Then Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. How often do you give thanks for the food you've been given? Seriously, I want you to just reflect on that for a minute. Be honest with yourself. How often do you really give thanks for the food you've been given, especially when you're by yourself? When you're having your little bowl of cereal, you're having some leftovers, or a turkey sandwich for this afternoon when you get home from leftovers, or that piece of pie you're eating in the closet hoping nobody catches you. Whatever, you know, stay out of your closet. But how often do you give thanks, right? And it's a serious question. Do you pray before every meal? How about in public spaces when you go out to eat or when you have company over? Do you struggle to pray in social settings, or are you committed to blessing the table and giving thanks despite the context, despite the audience? And see, Jesus always gave thanks. And so I think that's a good way to think about, you know, our gratitude and our ability to say thank you to God for everything that we do. The water we get to drink clean water. So many people don't. We get to take clean showers. We get to eat great food. We have security. We have protection. We have so many things to be grateful for. But how many times do we really stop long enough to say thank you? And I think it's a great lesson that Jesus teaches us. Here's our second scenario. Jesus thanks God for selectively revealing and concealing his will. So there's times that God reveals what's going on. There's times that God doesn't, and for various reasons. But in this particular scripture we're going to read here in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, this is the story where Jesus had sent out 72 disciples to spread the gospel, to spread the good news. Now they've came back, and they're sharing stories of what took place and what happened and how the kingdom got advanced and the experiences they had. And so this is the exchange that we see. They're preaching the good news for the kingdom. So Luke writes this, and let's read this. "At that very moment, Jesus overflowed with joy from the Holy Spirit and said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and show them to the babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness.'" Amen. And Jesus was super pumped. If you read the earlier passages that lead into this scripture, at one point Jesus even says he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. This is how much joy he had around this moment. Alone with his disciples, Jesus shared this, and I quote, "Happy are the eyes that see what you see. I assure you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see and hear, but they didn't," end quote. And so think about that, that what Jesus is talking about, the Holy Spirit working in your life as a channel. God's working through you, and you're having these experiences. And I would call, we have our five senses, but I would call it a sixth sense. That a vital sixth sense, that as a kingdom person, as a Jesus-centered follower, that this sixth sense is something that we want to lean into all the time, that we want to see God's hands. And if you're, as you mature in your spiritual journey, so wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, as you mature, this will happen more and more for you. As you're trying to live a Jesus-centered life, you will see God's sovereignty. You will see God's hand in places you didn't see it before, whether it's in creation, sky, birds, trees, flowers, but also just in the moment, in the experience. There's two Greek words that come out of Scripture that describe time. One is chronos, and the other one is kairos. And chronos, some of you may be familiar with that if you use HR systems. There's a big popular HR system called chronos. Some of you might use it at your work where you have to log in and they manage your time and your 401k and your taxes and all that. It's a management of time. Chronos is a period of time. We're in a chronos moment right now. This COVID-19 has been a chronos experience going on over 2 years now in December. 2019 is when we first saw it rear its ugly head. And then we have kairos. And kairos is those moments in our journey where we have revelation, where we have an epiphany, where we experience God, where we see what we haven't seen before. You can almost call it an apocalyptic moment. Something's been unveiled or revealed to us we've never experienced before in our life. And so if you walk long enough in the Lord, you've had those experiences, those kairos moments. And so you start to look for them. Even in this COVID-19 time, even this trial and low spot, that we've been into, even in that time period, you can look back and find kairos moments. Sometimes it's in hindsight, looking back, but you can find those moments. You can see how God is working and how God blessed this or changed that. And so that's what we see here is these kairos moments as these disciples are coming in and Jesus, they're sharing these kairos moments. They were revealed to them. They couldn't do any of this stuff till the Holy Spirit was put on them. But now they got the Holy Spirit in their life and they're going out and God's working through them and they're doing things and it's blowing them away. And they're coming back. You can just hear the conversation. Jesus is full of joy and happiness. We read right there in Scripture. I mean, it's exciting. And so these kairos moments, are things that we should look for. And Jesus shows us that. And to those who are blind and those who are deaf to what God's word is, and there's many, unfortunately, many people in your own family that are just blind and deaf to the word of God. And they just live a very self-interested life. They live for their own self-interest. That's what they do. They're not necessarily out there doing anything evil, but they're just living for themselves, and they're missing the magic of living the kingdom life, and it's unfortunate. But so this is what's gone. Even some of the elite Pharisees were missing the boat the whole time Jesus is preaching and teaching. They're lost in the law. They're lost in what their idea and their twisted perceptions of who God is. And so this is really an important thing, is that we look for those kairos moments in our life. Number three, Jesus thanked God for listening to his prayers. And we're going to read scripture now from John chapter 11, 38 through 44, and we'll see an example of this, of what I'm talking about. Jesus was deeply disturbed. Again, he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, listen to what he said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." And friends, but he gave thanks for that. He gave thanks for God for hearing his prayer. And I think that's a lesson that we should give thanks for, because God answers prayer three ways, always. He either says, no. Sometimes he says slow. And sometimes he says go. Go for it. But God's always answering the prayer in his time and his way. And can we just stop long enough to say thank you? We're all really good at saying, praying and thanking God when our butts are on fire, right? You think about how many times you've been in challenging situations in your life, and we're quick to hit our knees. We're quick to say, God, get me out of this. We call them all kinds of things, plea bargain prayers, foxhole prayers, lots of those type of prayers. When things are really hard, we pray, and we give thanks, thanks, thanks. If you're like me, I said a lot of those prayers, especially in my dark days. And I would say things like, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. And if you're really like me, you had to add this to it. And this time, I really mean it. Because you burnt that into the ground. You said it so many times, right? But, you know, in those moments, but in just the everyday minutia of just going through life, how often do we stop and say, thank you, God, for hearing our prayer, for answering our prayer? So Jesus did that. He gave thanks when he prayed. So we should do the same thing. And in this last situation we're going to look at the Last Supper, Jesus offered thanks for the bread and the fruit of the vine, something that we'll do together here in a few minutes when we go into communion. But on the evening before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus gathered his disciples, right? He brought them together. At this meal, often referred to as the Last Supper, Jesus lifted up a memorial for his disciples to follow in remembrance of him, what we're going to do this morning as we share in communion. We'll study those words in a few minutes, but we call that the Great Thanksgiving for a reason. So it fits appropriately here. But let's read the gospel and see what he has to say. This is Mark Gospel, chapter 14, verses 17 through 26. That evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. During the meal, Jesus said, I assure you that one of you will betray me, someone eating with me. Deeply saddened, they asked him one by one, it's not me, is it? Jesus answered, it's the one of the 12, one who is dipping bread with me into this bowl. The human one goes on to his death, just as it is written about him. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays the human one. It would have been better for him if he had never been born. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take this, this is my body. He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I assure you that I won't drink wine again until the day when I drink it in a new way in God's kingdom. After singing songs of praise, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so, friends, that's it. Jesus always took time to say thank you for everything. In his prayer life, when he broke bread, when he was alone. And so it's a great lesson for us at Thanksgiving to just say thanks, to get into the habit of saying thanks and remembering that we attract to us what we become. And that really centers around our attitude. And I hope we remember that if we're repetitive complainers, if that's all we do is gripe about everything, you know, it could be 1,000 blessings on, but we're going to find the one or two things to complain about. And we repetitively do this, that's what we're going to attract to us. We're always going to be in a rotten mood. We're always going to have a rotten attitude. The glass is always going to be half full. You know, and you know people like that. They wear you out. They exhaust you, you know, when you're around them for a long enough time. And these two are pointing at each other in the front. But it's true. And it can be this repetitive complaining. But at the same time, if we can learn to shift, you know, if we can learn to move from that negative connotation and move to repetitive gratitude, we'll attract all things to us to be grateful for from now till eternity. We'll be much more grateful. I've never met anybody with a grateful heart ever in my life that's blown up their life. Not one time. You know, despite their present circumstances, they persevere and they do amazing things despite what's going on because of their attitude. So attitude and having an attitude of gratitude is highly imperative to get through life, to get through the trials of life. As we get older, we deal with illness. We deal with getting old. We deal with eventually death. All of us. Everybody's sitting here. Nobody gets out. If we live long enough, we'll experience all those big pillars. But our attitude will determine how we deal with those things. Will they suck us dry, isolate us, and have us sitting alone miserable? Or will we be reaching out and allowing the people that are in our circle to love us, to help encourage us, to walk with us, to help us rediscover life, to bless us in these moments? Our attitude will determine all that. And so I'm in charge of my attitude. You're in charge of your attitude. From the moment I get up till I go to bed, my attitude is up to me. It's my business. And so I want to read to you a statement from a piece of sermon that came out many, many years ago by an old Southern Baptist preacher named Charles Swindoll. And he wrote this in a sermon, and it's awesome. And I encourage you to Google it. Just Google Charles Swindoll attitude and print that off and put it on your refrigerator and read it often, because it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And it's a reminder we need all the time, because our attitudes can shift in the day just like that, just like a roller coaster. I can be great in the morning, and then all it takes is one little thing, and I can spin off into a rotten attitude. But I'm in charge of that. I'm responsible for that. So it's important. So I want to read this for you. This is called Attitude by Charles Swindoll. And I quote, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. May this holiday season, may we learn to nurture an attitude of gratitude for the rest of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you for the role model of Jesus. Jesus becoming the full essence of you, as Hebrew 1 verse 3 tells us. Lord Jesus exemplified what it means to live a spirit-filled life. That we need to pray. That we need to fast. That we need to give thanks. That we need to rest. And that we need to spend time alone with you. And Lord, in this very individualistic culture, this very self-centered culture, this fast-paced culture that we live in, it's easy not to do any of those things with any consistency. All of us fall short in those five areas, every one of us. Lord, we just pray that we can stay honest with ourselves, that we can be open-minded enough to your word, to your teaching, and willing enough to exercise these spiritual principles in our life one day at a time, better than we ever have before as we conclude 2021 and as we prepare to go forth in 2022. Help these five disciplines be an integral part of who we are and how we live our lives. Help us to have an attitude of gratitude. Help us to give thanks for everything in our lives, even the struggles, even the trials, as you tell us in James, count it all joy as we go through these things, because we know in that chronos moment that there's a Kairos experience to be had. And help us to look for those Kairos moments in everything we do, no matter how tough it might be right now. We know that your hand and sovereignty are over everything. We pray this boldly this morning in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.